الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وعلى أصحابه الأسفياء ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى with his grace and mercy is all the time blessing and showering his mercy upon the creation. The creation is existing, the creation is being fed, the creation is being given comfort and sukoon, because every organ in the body, rather every cell and inside the body, if anything goes wrong, you know what happens. If a person's heart is not working, or if we take an example simple as that you cannot relieve yourself after drinking water, this is such a great blessing that a person cannot thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And this world, you see as well, people who are deprived of this ni'mah, how they are holding their bags, are attached with them. Many of them could not even go freely and move freely. But we don't appreciate because we have it continuously. So it doesn't mean the blessing lessens. Blessing is still great. A person who is one organ, kidney is not working, a machine which takes about 5-6 hours to just to refine and filter the intoxicants in the body instead of the kidney. Imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that organ and it is within us. So similarly, there are many, every breath is actually a blessing of Allah, and every breath is an, in the words of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, every breath is an opportunity to do tawbah, repentance. Because a person who have died, he will wish that he can get one breath of this life, because he knows that in that one breath he could have done tawbah. He could have turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if anyone really does turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in one breath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them truly. One breath you take before the angel Israel, you see angel Israel. So just imagine the value of one breath, that a person going in hellfire, a person going in punishment in the grave, he will wish, he will know the value of that one breath. But if I only have this one breath, few seconds of the worldly life, I could have turned everything round actually in my favor. But we have that breath, we are just like animals and other creation, just breathing. That, but awliya Allah, they even remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with each breath. One breath does not go without their remembering Allah azza wa jal. Can you imagine? Because they have trained themselves. They don't have to do mujahida for doing that. They have trained that for themselves. That's why the one of the zikr, the amal which you do in itikaf is called pasi and fast. The zikr, the training of oneself to train the breathing to do zikr, meaning you will breathe anyway, human being will breathe because they can't actually survive without breathing. And if a person trains his breathing in a way he connects the zikr of Allah with the breathing, it's as though the breathing will continue and he will be doing zikr. Breathing will continue and he will be doing zikr, even he will not maybe notice, he don't have to put effort. It has just become his second nature. Like you don't have to put effort and think really that you are breathing, you should breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. You don't think like that. Because you have been trained, your body is programmed, the mind actually does that naturally. So similarly, if you can add the name of Allah with breathing, you will be doing zikr. So, awliya Allah, practice this. This doesn't come without practice. Nothing comes without practice. Even though you learn to speak with practice, firstly you were speaking and even your parents could not understand what you were saying. But if someone says that I am not going to speak because no one understands me, like for example in the case of the baby, they'll never be able to speak. So firstly, they'll waffle and they will stutter and they will say a word which doesn't appear to have meaning. Then gradually they become very fluent, very clear in their language. So you also train for all other things, for eating, drinking, driving, writing, reading, speaking, you train yourself. So if a person is trained in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his every breath will become zikr. And how awliya Allah do? They practice in their seclusions for half an hour or for 1 hour, that they observe their breaths. When the breath goes, you take in the breath, they think about that they are saying Allah. And when they breathe out, they think they are saying who? That Allah, and it's He only actually, our Lord. Allahu. So once they are trained, their breaths are always actually doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they are speaking to people. Because that's how they have trained themselves. And some awliya salihin like Imam Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani, he estimated the person takes many breaths in 24 hours. He for example said 24,000. So he said even if a person cannot do zikr, he should do zikr with every breath, but if he can't, yet he is under practice or he is not trained, he said he should say 24,000 times Allah's name. And Imam Sha'rani used to say this himself. He would seclude himself and once in 24 hours, 24,000 name of Allah, 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 Allah. He said, I am compensating so that on the day of judgment, with every breath, I have the name of Allah. So I will say to the angels that every breath, I have been actually equal to that, been saying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a blessing. We can utilize, but unfortunately, many of us are in ghafla and in heedlessness, and we are asleep. Regarding the akhirat, we are asleep. Regarding the dunya, we are awake. So imagine you are sitting now, and if someone stands in the front of you and said, I am going to tell you how you can earn £1 million in 1 month. I think most of them will be 10 times more awake. The ears will stand out, the mind will become sharp. And everything that we should listen to this. But this is not to become millionaires only actually for a short time. This is the path to Allah where you can become forever and ever attain the mercy and pleasure and Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because it is a test, it is in Akhirah, it is in the other world, a person cannot see normally. But you have seen what the brother was saying yesterday. Normally people say, who have seen Akhirah? We've never seen. No one says. No one has come back after death. But yes, they have not. No one has come back after death normally. But people living, they can actually, if Allah Subhanahu wa Taala opens for them, they can see. And this is a sign for us. I don't need to see. I trust Rasulullah SAW more than anyone else. I won't. My yakin, my faith is not going to increase by someone else actually saying anything that they saw this or they saw that. Because I trust more than anyone Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what he has said is sufficient. The other is support for weak people. Other is support for weak people. The strong people, they have iman on the unseen. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Then if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He can open things. But Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that if the veils are removed, my iman is not going to increase. So this seems that he was a person of iman bil ghayb. He didn't want to actually do the other way. He actually believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, if the veil is removed, still my iman will be the same. Because I have believed on what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. So this is the greatest thing. But for support, for guidance, a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does support his people. He increases them in guidance. He shows them signs within dreams, within visions, within their life. They are all signs. So we'll continue because there are few now sessions left actually, and we have to cover. So briefly, we'll go through quickly, and inshallah next year or so, we can even go more in detail. So, you mashallah know where to begin from. You begin from with yourself and others, firstly asking Allah for help. Then you train yourself and motivate yourself and freshen your iman by remembering the reality of this life, the reality of the world of spirits, what happened, the reality of Akhirah, the reality of hell and paradise. You try to visualize this and freshen this. This will give you energy to walk and towards the path of Allah. Then we mentioned that you, what is the ultimate aim? The pleasure of Allah, and how it can be attained. You have to bring those four qualities which you have been listening, giving preference to Allah, giving preference to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Compassion upon creation and presence of Allah. And we also mentioned that which are not the objective yesterday, things which are not the objectives. So you should try to remember, because you are being prepared to guide or help other brothers. So people who are in the tariq, they should very carefully, they should be able to do halqa, because I will say to one of you, just do the halqa in front of us. How you are going to do? I want to start the path to Allah. Now you teach me how I am going to do. So that's how you actually are going to be tested as well. But inshallah you will write. Today we move to the next part, which is a person who is ready now to go to the path to Allah. He is on the path. This ground you can see the path, quest for truth. When want for truth, when yearning for truth, when yearning for the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you want to attain the love of Allah, you want to attain love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what you have to do? You just get without effort? No, love has a price to pay. Like everything has a price, love has a price to pay. If you pay that, you will get the pleasure of Allah, pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love of Allah and His Messenger. So the next part is that you have to climb a mountain. We can say to it the mountain of conditions, shurut. The mountain of conditions. In order, before you go any closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you like to go closer, you have to fulfill these things. If you don't, then you do not get access. Your access will be blocked. It's like if anyone wants to pray Namaz Salah, there are conditions. The place should be pure. You should have wudu. Your clothes should be clean. Your body should be pak as well. So there are conditions. If these conditions are fulfilled, then you stand in the prayers and your prayer will be accepted. Without conditions, you can stand in the prayers, do ruku, sajda, and qiyam, recite Quran, everything. But that prayer will not take any closer to you, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although you will be doing zikr, you will be doing sajda, you will be doing ruku, but you are not going any close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, a person who doesn't fulfill the conditions of the tariq, conditions to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the teachings of Islam, to fulfill those conditions, who doesn't do fulfill these conditions, even though they do zikr, even though they do muraqabat, and they say, we are very high spiritual people, and they don't get any close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what are the conditions? Basically, the first one, to have essential knowledge of aqeedah according to Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Having essential knowledge, the necessary knowledge. This is which you are learning in the halaqat after the study circles. So the first condition, beliefs. So imagine you have to climb a mountain to get these conditions. Only then you can go forward. So the first one is the beliefs according to Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Who is Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Ahle Sunnah means Sunnah and Jama'ah means the Jama'ah of Sahaba. Sunnah means Rasulullah SAW Sunnah, and Jama'ah in Sunnah wal Jama'ah mean the companions of Rasulullah SAW. It doesn't mean any scholar of the time or any other person. Any man can go astray. The true Aqeedah aligns with Sahaba Rizwanul Alim Ajmain. Because no Sahabi actually went astray. There were many groups which actually, they in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they became after the study circles. So the first condition, beliefs. So imagine you have to climb a mountain to get these conditions. Only then you can go forward. So the first one is the beliefs according to Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Who is Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Ahle Sunnah means Sunnah and Jama'ah means the Jama'ah of Sahaba. Sunnah means Rasulullah SAW Sunnah, and Jama'ah in Sunnah wal Jama'ah mean the companions of Rasulullah SAW. It doesn't mean any scholar of the time or any other person. Any man can go astray. The true Aqeedah aligns with Sahaba Rizwanul Alim Ajmain. Because no Sahabi actually went astray. There were many groups which actually, they became, in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, they became, many of them became Kharijis at his time. Amongst his own army, they became Kharijis. They said, we understand Quran better than Hazrat Ali. This is the example of people of our time as well, that they studied translations of Quran and a Hadith, and then they start objecting on ulama. Then they start raising objections to ulama. We understand more, we know more hadith, we understand more because I have read translation of Sahih Bukhari, I have read translation of Quran. They even don't know Arabic. And many of them know, but then they start raising objections to ulama, and ulama have a chain going back to Rasulullah SAW understanding. It's not only the chain of a hadith, they have a chain of knowledge of fiqh going back to Imam Abu Hanifa and through him to Hazrat Ali and Abdullah bin Masood. They have a chain of tazkiyah and ihsan going back to Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani and Imam Hassan Basri and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. They have a chain of tafsir going back to. They have a chain of a hadith going back to. So these people existed in time of Hazrat Ali as well. They said, we understand Quran better than you, it's to Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala. And he said, no, this is not true, but you are not understanding Quran. They said, Quran is saying this, Quran is saying that, Hadith is saying this. Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala, said, okay, bring the Quran then. They said, we don't want to listen to you, we want to listen to Quran. We want to follow Quran. So Hazrat Ali, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, bring the Quran. So a copy of Quran was brought in front of them, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu touched upon the Quran and said, O Quran, speak what you mean by your verses. Quran was silent. Quran means you can recite verses, the Quran doesn't speak to people. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, others, they said, what are you doing, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala said, that's what you said, that Quran will decide between us, that we follow Quran, so let the Quran speak. And they were sitting silently like foolish people looking here and there. He said, well, now let it speak. They started, we will, it actually means this. He said, please be silent. You said the Quran will speak, and now you are speaking. Silent. Let the Quran speak. I did not say, you said this. And they sat there, no one was speaking. As soon as anyone would speak, there it would be silence that you are not the Quran. Then they said to Sayyidina Ali that you say what you want to say. He said that I would say the Quran doesn't speak, the Quran speaks through the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How Prophet Ali sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the Quran to Sahaba. So we have understood the Quran. We know the meaning. You have not understood the Quran. You have not learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran, this is your false idea that the Quran, we are following Quran. This is false idea that people have, that we are following Hadith, while the Hadith is not speaking to you. So people of the time, they might read a Hadith. The Hadith is not going to say, I am cancelled, I am abrogated, I am mansukh. The Hadith is not going to speak. So this person might be saying, I am following Hadith, and the Hadith might be abrogated already, cancelled already. He might have the notion, I am following Hadith, and the Hadith, another Hadith, there might be conditions related to it, exceptions to it, in other Hadith. So these people, the time of Hazrat Ali, they went astray, but no Sahabi went into any other firqa. There were Khariji, there were others as well, but no, it is karamat of the Sahaba Rizwan al-Ajmain and the blessing of Rasulullah Sallam. They didn't actually, any Sahabi did not belong to the Khariji firqa. They all stayed on the true Aqeedah. So when we say Aqeedah, we mean Ahl Sunnah. By Sunnah means Rasulullah Sallam, the Hadith, and Wal Jama'ah means the Jama'ah of Sahaba. Because others, they were examples that they went astray here and there. After that, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah, he wrote the great book on Aqeedah. First book in entire Islamic history, remember. In all scholars, after the Sahaba, no one wrote a book on Aqeedah before Imam Abu Hanifa rahmahullah. Imam Abu Hanifa wrote the book called Fiqh al-Akbar, and then that Aqeedah continued. Imam Hassan Basri, before Imam Abu Hanifa, and he was a student of these people, great Tabi'een and great Sahaba. And then Imam Tahawi wrote more elaboration, Aqeedah Tahawiyah, and then the Aqeedah continues through Imam Abu Hassan Ashari, Imam Ghazali, Imam Abu Mansur Maturidi, and going up to our days, they are there. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, the Aqeedah actually is continuing. So that is the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Now sometimes there are little bit of differences in them, some Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that doesn't cast anyone out of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They can have little difference, but principle. So Aqeedah is simple thing. For a normal person, if you engage him in differences of opinion, you are confusing them. He might have come out of the club life. He might have come out of the disco life. He might have come out of the gang life. He was selling drugs. And you want to say that this scholar says this, and the other scholar says, and they have ikhtilaf, and in their ikhtilaf there is ijtihad, and ijtihad everyone can be right, and the others can't be wrong, and you are confusing people. So you say simply to them what Rasulullah said to Jibreel alayhi salam, believe in Allah, I believe in Allah, I believe in His angels, they are sinless creation. I believe in His messengers, they were superior creation. They were masoom. They brought the message in the form of books. I believe in all their divinely revealed books. I believe in the day of judgment. I believe life after death. I believe in destiny. Qadr means the knowledge and power of Allah, that Allah knows everything, Allah has power over everything. That's all. I believe in the khatamiyat, the finality of prophethood. Sufficient. Sufficient for salvation. You don't need to engage people in difficult issues, and there are so many debates going and people are arguing and debates upon debates and killing each other, shouting at each other, giving fatwas of kufr and shirk and bid'ah and gustakhi on each other. These people are not doing service to Islam. The service to Islam was done by the Sufiya who brought non-Muslims in Islam. And what these people have done, instead of increasing the number of Muslims, they have started throwing Muslims out of Islam. So imagine how opposite thing they are doing. What they are supposed to, they were supposed to bring more people into Islam. And I don't think many of them fully themselves are in Islam as well. They are not acting up for the teachings of Islam. They don't have taqwa, they don't have a state of ihsan, and arguing, booking, and writing books about debates and arguing with each other. That's all they are doing. And their climax is, their climax where they have reached very closeness, they think, is to give fatwa of kufr to anyone. Well and good. And the way of ulama and sufiya was actually to even they turn many Hindus and mushrikeens to Muslim. Rasulullah SAW brought many Ahlul Kitab, all the mushrikeen into Islam. He didn't actually throw people out of Islam. He encouraged them to come into Islam, stay into Islam, and help them. If there were any mistake in them, he would help them to correct it. He would show his displeasure so that they are corrected. So debates really do not benefit very much like our days when people have debates. Because why? Simple reason. Both parties before starting the debate have decided in their mind, we are not going to believe what the other says, no matter if he proves right as well. Before the debate they've already decided that we are not going to listen to him. It is our insult. What will people say? Video program is being done, recording is being done. What will people say? I will lose everything. They will say, you've been leading us astray all these years. No, I can't do that. So even if I say a miracle, I will still be stubborn and say, no, I am right, you are wrong. So when they've decided beforehand that they're not going to listen to each other, what will be the benefit? The benefit is in that debate where both parties say, there's a possibility we are wrong. There's a possibility we are wrong, or one has the conviction that they are right, but they say we will listen to the other opinion with open minds, and if it is truth, we will abandon ourselves. So that is. But that is not done in Zaruriyat-e-Deen, which are the fundamentals of Islam, like these seven, finality of prophethood, and the about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger. This is not done. These people are out of Islam anyway. They deny the necessary things which they should believe in. So you should just simply explain to the brother, sister, people that these are the beliefs you should believe in. And if they want to enter argument and say question, is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Noor or Bashar or is this or that, etc., say that we'll discuss this after. This is not our topic. Firstly, we should master the basics. These are questions at the level of ulama and arifin. When you reach there, you will be able to know which side you go to. Because shaitan will stop people taking actual beneficial knowledge because of these other things. So a person should start with the basics and then actually build up. Especially normal people who are coming out of sinful life, clubbing life, gang life, drugs life, for them you need to present how Rasulullah presented simple, crystal clear teaching of Islam and belief. So second condition is to have essential knowledge of the jurisprudence, which is called fiqh and outward law. So this means knowledge you have to teach the person, or he has to teach himself or learn basic knowledge, how to do wudu, what are the farz things in the wudu, what are the faraid of ghusl. Many people, they are actually not aware of the faraid of ghusl. Can you imagine? They are not even aware of the faraid of ghusl, and you are arguing about unnecessary things and going to lengths here and there, that this person said this and that said this, and people are dying. Some are without iman, some without actually praying 50 years with an unclean body to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will be questioned that basic knowledge was not present, and you were delving into unnecessary knowledge and putting people into difficulty. Why Rasulullah has said that make the deen yassiru, make the deen easy, don't make it difficult. And these people were arguing and accusing each other and giving fatwas, and all the time they are in this mind and they are on the winning game and ego trip. They are making the deen difficult. So the normal person today says, who shall I follow? Who is right? Because you made deen difficult for them. And if you would have said simply that you only believe what Rasulullah SAW says and what Sahaba says, and leave the other matter to the ulama, they will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, a question was asked by Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. Someone asked him, because there was not very long past that a war happened between the army of Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Amir Mawiya radiyallahu ta'ala an. And Imam Abu Hanifa was a great scholar. So a question was asked to him that who was untruth? Who is wrong? Who is sinful? Hazrat Ali or Hazrat Amir Mawiya radiyallahu ta'ala an. Imam Abu Hanifa began to weep. His eyes began to shed tears. He said, really, we are such people, we don't deserve to bring their name upon our tongues. They were such superior people. Ne farmaya ki wo aise log hain Hazrat Ali aur Hazrat Amir Mawiya ki hamari zubane bhi is qabil nahi ki hum unka paak naam zubano se, hamari zubane bhi itni gandi hai, ghibat, chugli, jhoot, dagha karte. And then Imam Abu Hanifa said that, my son, when we don't deserve to even say their name, and a person will need more knowledge than Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Amir Mawiya to decide a matter between them. It is simple. When a dispute arises between two people, they can't decide, meaning that their knowledge they were using, they can't. And now the third person says, I be the judge. That the judge is really claiming more knowledge and wisdom than the disputants. So he said, any person to decide amongst them will have to have more knowledge than Hazrat Ali and Amir Mawiya. And who is the person on the face of the earth who can claim, I know more than Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? I know more than the Sahabi, the Rasul, Sayyidina Amir Mawiya radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? No. And he said further, who is this person? That, my son, if the angels in the grave will ask you this question, or on the day of judgment, I will answer on your behalf. I will say, excuse this person, he is a normal person, he doesn't have anything to do with Hazrat Ali and Amir Mawiya's word. And he said, I hope angels will listen to me. So if they do ask you, send them to me. But how foolish a person is that he is not preparing for the question which you will be asked for. He said, you will be asked for, how did you spend time in the life? On the day of judgment, this will be the first question. Zindagi kahan guzari hai? Where you spent time? Hazrat Ali, Amir Mawiya radiyallahu ta'ala and other, they will be asked about their lives. You will be asked about your time. How you have earned wealth. how you have earned property, how you have earned money, where you have spent money, what were the spending means, where did you spend? Where did you spend your youthful age when you were 14, between 15 and 40? Where did you spend that age? That age was very energyful and useful for you. You had all these abilities Allah gave. Your mind was working well. Your body was powerful. Where did you spend that time? What was the markaz? What was the center? And then question will be asked, how much did you act upon your knowledge? On your knowledge, how much did you act upon your knowledge? The things you knew, how much did you act upon? So these are the questions to be asked to us on the Day of Judgment. Not actually about Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Amir Maviya, and these are not to be asked. So we better remain silent. So we remain silent and mashallah, finished, the matter finished. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Tilka ummatun qad khalat. These are people who have passed. Lahama kasabat. For them is what they did. They will reap, they will be rewarded what they have done. They will be punished what they have done. Walakum ma kasabtum. But you listen very carefully. For you, it will be what you have been doing. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. You will be not asked about what they have been doing. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla said very clearly, وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ, you will be not be asked, عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, what they have been doing. So why I am wasting my time? Rather actually corrupting my iman, because a person who will do a gustakhi of a sahabi or a messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his iman is in danger. He will lose his iman and he won't even know. And if he had remained silent, man samata naja, all ulama are arguing of the world and you remain silent, you will be not asked on the Day of Judgment. Finish. As soon as you enter the ring, now you are a party as well. You will be also called. Come here, why you said these words? Second question will be, what authority did you have to say these words? Were you a scholar? Were you a person of knowledge? A person. Angels are asking, as you have heard from the brother, that those angels are very fearful angels. They are not angels of mercy. Fire is coming out of their mouths, fire is coming out of their eyes, and fire is coming out of their noses as well. And smoke is coming out of it. In that position, they are holding all the weaponries which the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And their scary and horrific faces, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these angels of punishment. So, yesi environment, many puchhenge Ram se, like you actually sit in comfort zone and discussing about, raising objections about Anbiya and Sahaba and Awliya Allah. You will really know that what these people are there, because you will be questioned. Ma yalfizu min al qawl, every word will be is you protected. What you've been saying. So you learn about the knowledge of fiqh, meaning wuzu, ghusl, the farais of ghusl. Farais of ghusl, for example, are to rinse your mouth, gargle if you are not fasting, to clean the inside part of the nose to the soft bone, the water should reach, for example, at least once, and to wash and let the water flow over all the body until everything actually is wet and cleaned. No, nothing remains. So, farais of wudu, ghusl, and what breaks wudu, what breaks ghusl, what breaks prayers, what is the masail of zakat. If you have money to give zakat, then to learn the masala of zakat is farz upon you. That knowledge is farz upon you. If you are not learning, you are sinful. If you are married and you are not learned the knowledge which is related to the rights of husband and wife and which are farz and wajib, you are becoming sinful. Of every day you are sinful of not learning that knowledge. You might be saying, I am a very good man, I pray tasbih 1,000 times. And I pray nawafil tahajjud, but there you are dealing with fries, How you are getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might say, brother, I have been doing all these dhikr and things, but still I don't feel actually close to Allah. How will you feel when you are living farais? So similarly, if you are doing business, you must know the necessary things in order to save yourself from the unlawful transactions. How when it become invalid, when it become interest, when it doesn't become interest. So this knowledge is called fiqh. So this is the second condition. And the third condition is discharging the rights of Allah and the creation violated in the past. Discharging the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation. Necessarily you don't need to repent from all the sins, but at least the rights in the past of Allah violated and the rights of the creation. We are going to go in little bit of detail of them. And fourth condition is mujahida. If you are not ready to give commitment, if you are not ready to give commitment to this path, you cannot achieve it. A person who doesn't give commitment to any field, he is never able to achieve it. And this is actually when you have some very powers working against you, like shaitan, nafs, love of dunya, people, they are working against you. So now in order to stay on that, intact on that path, you need commitment that I will always be attached to this path. I can't leave actually this path. It's not worth, I can't take this risk. Although I get into sin, but I am not going to leave the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I have no other choice but just to remain with Him and on the path. And once you struggle on that path, that is called mujahida. That's what you are meant to do. That you are not able to achieve something, you are trying, that is called mujahida. That is called effort. So putting effort. Now we very briefly go through the major rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which you have to explain to people. Major rights of Allah, number one, to believe in Allah with all His qualities and attributes by following His commands and His last and final messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to believe in Allah with all His qualities and attributes and sifat by following His commands and His last and final messenger. So see, these are the rights of Allah that you follow, you believe in Allah, you follow His Quran and you follow His messenger. These are because they are the messenger of Allah, and Quran is the book of Allah. So it is the right of Allah even to do that. So in the right of Allah, it's also included to follow Quran and follow Rasulullah ﷺ, because the Quran is the message and Rasulullah ﷺ is the practical manifestation of that message. So that is really what Allah wants. That is the model which Allah wants all people to follow. So this is right. So there it will come if you have any missed prayers, you missed qaza prayers, the prayers which are qaza, you missed, your fasts are missed in the past life, you have not been giving zakat, you are not going to Hajj. Now you should prepare to go to Hajj if you have the money and health, and you should try to estimate how much zakah you have missed. You should estimate also how many number of prayers you missed and start praying them. These are the conditions to go on the tariqah, on the silsila, on the spiritual path, or to the pleasure of Allah. Even a person doesn't want to follow any silsila, still it is necessary to do this thing. In Tariqah Muhammadiyya, conditions are universal. No matter a person is on any level of Islam, it is necessary for to do. If he is Muslim, he must do these things. It's not only the optional thing that is just such an easy option that you are following, I want to follow a spiritual path and only then I need these things. No. If you are Muslim, these things are necessary for you. So it's irrelevant, I don't want to follow tariqah. Well, you don't want to follow tariqah, still it is Islamic demand from you, from Quran and Sunnah. And this is called tariqah Muhammadiyya. This is way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Which way you want to go other than Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then? Another right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to commit shirk, associate partners or worship any other thing beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not to commit shirk, not to associate, meaning that believing the qualities of Allah are present within someone else as well, like the qualities of Allah. Or worship any other thing beside Allah. So a person should actually abandon that and do tawbah from that if they have been doing. Then it comes the major rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also you should know. To believe in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to love him more than your family, more than any creation or anyone including yourself. This is the first right of the Messenger of Allah. To have belief on him that what he says is the truth. He says looking at women unlawfully is the one of the arrows of shaitan. So I really believe that they are the arrow of shaitan. If I don't believe, then I might say shaitan is saying no, it's good, it's not an arrow, it's very very good feeling. Well, that's what shaitan is saying. So now it will, you will be tested, you believe on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or you believe what the shaitan and nafs is saying. That is actually how you should actually fulfill the right of Rasulullah. So in the past, if you violated these rights, then you should also correct it. And to love Rasulullah more than your family and other things, and also creation and including yourself, this means anyone can say that we love Rasulullah more than, but you have to understand what love means. Love means that when these things, creation, yourself, your desires are saying something else and Rasulullah SAW saying something else, now your love will be tested and you will be known who you really love. Otherwise, empty slogan. I can say I am world champion of cricket. It's easy to say, you just want to say, I am the best. But how will I know when I only people know who is world champion? Their teams compete with each other. Different teams of the world, they compete with each other. Only then they know who is world champion. Similarly, if you say you are the champion of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then compete with your wife's love. Compete with your children's love. Compete with the love of people. Compete with the love of dunya. Then you will know who is the champion. Or otherwise you will be out because they love themselves more. Friends, they are not behaving well with them, finish. Friendship finish. So at the end you will find the person you love most is yourself. Then Rasulullah said that even that you should love even more than actually yourself, me. And how you will know, you can put this to test. When yourself has demand, yourself has preferences, yourself has desires, Rasulullah ﷺ had preferences, which one you choose. So don't fall into the trap of shaitan like many people have fallen, the empty slogans of love, and they are loving everything other than Rasulullah ﷺ. And just to say, they will say the name of Prophet ﷺ. These are munafiqeen. Munafiqeen used to outwardly say, we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we obey and we love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but in their actions they went against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, come for my deen, we are going on a jihad, they will come with excuses. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my palm trees are bearing fruit now, you know, I will lose if I go. My wife is ill, she is not very well. I have other commitments, I have big family and other things, they will come. I'm not feeling well, my mood is not right. And they will come with all different excuses to Prophet ﷺ, and Prophet ﷺ, in spite of knowing their excuses, he would take actually not actually action, any action against them, but he would actually grant them the leave. But these were the munafiqeen because they are being tested. If he wanted, he could actually tell them that you are lying. But because they are being tested, if the person wants to deceive, be deceived, then actually what can the other do? So similar you find in our days, if someone is asked, give time, brother, 3 days for the deen of Allah. to spread the sunnah of Rasulullah, to convey the message of Prophet Islam to these non-Muslims and masses. Oh brother, I have a job to attend to, you know, and you know, my wife says I don't like you being out. These are on the same line on the munafiqeen. Only the outward people have changed, the mentality is same, that they come up with excuses, and they came up with excuses at that time. So the mentality of Abu Jahl, munafiqeen, they is going to continue until Day of Judgment. People will change, actors will change, act will be same. Mouth will be changed, speech will be the same. And mouth and faces will be different, speech will be the same. So you should judge yourself that it's not that you are those person. Doesn't Rasulullah's deen need help now? Doesn't it need help now? Doesn't the sunnah need help now? There are more non-Muslims than Muslims, even in the world. So they need a message to convey to. And today if you make excuses, I have a job. Yes, you have a job. The Sahaba did not have a job. I have children. Well, see, Abdul Qadir Jilani has 36 children. So on the Day of Judgment you come, I have 5 children. I had to feed them. There will be people brought up 30, 40 children, and they have been doing the work of deen and work of dunya as well. So all excuses will be finished, and then only you and the fire of hell will be facing each other. Angel will say, look at there, that is your maqam. All these false excuses will be exposed on that day. The tongues will speak, the organs will speak. So, this is one of the major rites of Rasulullah Sallam, to believe, and believe, I've explained to you what it means, and to love him more. Second, to honor and respect Rasulullah Sallam more than any other person or anything by following his message, his Sharia and his Sunnah. This is where we fall. We say we honor him. We say respect him, but you don't honor his Sunnah by following it. You don't honor his Sharia by following it. You don't honor his message by conveying and following it, by following it. So when you don't follow these things and convey these things, and so you honor and respect. How you respect and honor? That you follow them. You follow anything which Prophet ﷺ said. You honor his personality. You honor everything related to Rasulullah ﷺ, even his Nalan Sharifan, his slippers, you honor because they are attributed to Rasulullah ﷺ. You honor his city because it is related to Prophet ﷺ. You honor everything. And the most closest thing to him was his message, his Sunnah, and the Sharia which he gave. So if you've been doing that, Alhamdulillah. If not, you have to repent. You have to ask forgiveness from Allah. You have to ask forgiveness from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's his right. You have to actually ask forgiveness. But people, very seldom they ask any forgiveness from Prophet alaihi wasallam. They will go to Medina, Al Munawwara, and they say, Ya Rasulullah sallam, do our shafa on Day of Judgment. I'm very sinful. But they never thank Prophet alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallam, what you have done for us, I want to thank you. I want to say thanks. You've done great job for us. You've great sacrifices for us. And they also don't ask forgiveness from Rasulullah. They ask forgiveness from their sins, but not that the rights they violated of the Prophet Rasulullah, which should be asked from him. And the third one is to follow Rasulullah's Sunnah and Sharia to the highest level. This is Prophet's right as well. Then why you should follow anyone else? You should prefer him over others. Number four, to convey the message to the world with all means, with one's capabilities, within one's capabilities. To convey, to take the message to the whole world within all means, within one's capabilities. Whatever you are a scholar, you are a computer expert. A person might not have a knowledge. He might have a knowledge of how computers work. So he could say that I want to also spread and fulfill this right of Rasulullah, but I know how computers work. What can I do? Maybe you can do a good diagram for me. MashaAllah, this will be your side. A person who, for example, is expert in another field. Like any person who can recite Quran well, they can actually recite Quran. Who can write, they can write. Who can sing or nasheed, they can actually sing nasheed. So, Prophet ﷺ teaching mentioned here that you convey the message to the world with all means which you have capability. If you have a good voice, mashallah, use that. If you have a good writing skill, good. If you have money and wealth, use that. Money is required to actually convey the message. The money is a fundamental thing to convey the message, your life and money. You spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were the major rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which a person before setting on the tariq, he should try to fulfill them. Only then he can step one step forward. Otherwise, when you have not fulfilled these rights, going forward, doing nafal zikr, nafal tasbihat, is not going to benefit you any much. The major rights of mankind, people, what are they? They are also four. Number one, to do with their honor. You have backbited, you have slandered, you have said bad words about them, you have spread bad news about them, which have actually harm their reputation or anything like this, rebirth, anything. This you have to ask forgiveness from the person. And this you can explain to the brothers who you are trying to teach that there are easy ways to do that. They should ask. Number two, money, to do with money. If you owe money and you have eaten or defrauded people's money without their permission, you either ask forgiveness or give that money back. Forgiveness, even if you give money back, you still have to ask forgiveness because the harm, the grief you caused them. Let's say you borrow £1,000 and you said, I'll give you after 1 month, and you give after 1 year. You can't just say, here is your £1,000, you throw at him, here is your £1,000, I fulfilled my right. No, the right is not fulfilled. Yes, the money have been given, but the grief and inconvenience which you have caused, you also have to ask, brother, I also ask forgiveness from the delay and the discomfort. Maybe you had many commitments, you wanted to marry your daughter, you wanted to travel somewhere and your plans have been disrupted because of me. I also ask forgiveness for that as well. And number three, to do with life, meaning physical torture. If you are physically or mentally tortured, killed, or actually harmed anyone, you have to ask forgiveness. And number four are to do with property. This is also from the type of money category, but different property, land, houses, things which you own, and you are not supposed to own them, meaning you have unlawfully confiscated the property of people, especially those people who have wealth and they don't distribute it according to the Sharia amongst the proper heirs, proper wariseen, proper children. They don't give rights to sisters, daughters, mothers. They won't give their rights. Especially in our Indian subcontinent, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, because they were Hindu people before, and Hindu only give rights to, all wealth goes to the eldest son in the family. In the where Rajputs mean actually that these people who belong to Rajas and rule India at one time, there was all of the wealth and everything went to the eldest son, not even the youngest one, and let aside the women at all, not. So because people in India subcontinent, they subconsciously they have this mentality that they don't give their rights to their daughters, their sisters and their wives, and not very much. They have property and if anyone demands, they say she is not very good daughter, she is not very good sister, she doesn't care me, she doesn't love me. He's asking, I want a share of the property. Well, it shows you don't love her. It shows you don't love her at all. You are not giving her right due. She's only asking her right. It doesn't mean she doesn't love you. So these are the rights of mankind. And now also major rights of your own self, your own body, they also you have to explain. Because like in the hadith yesterday you heard that Rasulullah was saying that your eyes has a right upon you, your body has a right upon you, your wife has a right upon you, and Prophet was saying this. So these are derived from that hadith. Rights of yourself, the first and the foremost is to save yourself from the fire of hell. Save this poor body which is in your clothes. What have these hands done wrong to you? They have always helped you. What have this heart done wrong to you that you are going to let it burn in fire? It's beating all the time and pumping blood in you. What has this mind, what is done wrong to you? It is your mind, you are abusing it. So save them, save these organs from the fire of hell. Save this body from the fire of hell. It is not yours. It is a trust given to you. And you see, to save it from the fire of hell is the first right of yourself. Number two, to eat sufficient food to minimum to survive and not to overeat, obviously. To eat sufficient food. Khana, whatever you lawfully is available to give good food to the body, keep it healthy as much as you can. But not overeating. Overeating is not healthy anyway, so a person should not overeat. Number three, to provide the body with sufficient sleep and rest minimum to carry out daily activities. There is no buzurgi or taqwa or balayat, no staying awake day after day. Rasulullah when heard of Abdullah bin Amr that he was staying up all night, he said, "Fala tafal, don't do it. You are an example to follow in my sunnah. I sleep and I pray. And I fast and I don't fast as well sometimes." So give the body its sufficient sleep. And now some people might ask that we heard some saintly people, they don't sleep at night. Like Imam Abu Hanifa spent 45 years, he offered Fajr prayer with Isha prayers wuzu. Imam Abu Hanifa, 45 years. Imam Jalaluddin Sayyuti mentioned in his book regarding Imam Abu Hanifa, he narrated from Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the great muhaddis, the narrator of Sahih Bukhari. Because someone was criticizing Imam Abu Hanifa, and Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak was there, and he said, "You are criticizing a man who I witnessed 45 years he spent with the wuzu from Isha to Fajr." Let aside the knowledge, look at the taqwa of the person. And knowledge which this person now, you think you have more knowledge than him? So people used to follow Imam Abu Hanifa and they would know that he doesn't sleep. He would sleep in the daytime or after Fajr after the sunrise or any daytime for a short while. Now people ask them, why these people did not sleep? Well, we say that this is a karamat. It's an extra ability given by, if Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you extra ability, you still feel fresh because of even not sleeping. For you it is not necessary to sleep, because the right is to provide the body sufficient sleep, rest to minimum to carry out daily activities. So it is to give freshness and energy to your body. If that freshness and energy stays even without sleep, then it's not right to sleep. For example, then it's not necessary to sleep. there you are not violating. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani himself also spent 40 years, and he woke up all night for 40 years, and with Isha's wuzu he did Fajr prayer. But for others, he wrote in his book, they should sleep 8 hours. You see, if he thought he is the man of Mujahida, and he'd been doing himself, but for others, in his book, he wrote, they should sleep 8 hours. So, ye hai ki that if anyone gets an extra ability, that's an exception. That is a karama, that is a help from Allah. But necessary thing is too, that you feel fresh. And if you think, I also want to be Imam Hanifa, and you are sleeping now, sitting in my majlis, how can you become actually like that? And you had few hours sleep as well. So for these people, I say that they should sleep actually a sufficient 6-7 hours, so they are fresh. Hum to so ke bhi jo hai, wo bhi aadhe soye hote hain jaake. Other right of the body is to keep the body in a pure state by cleansing the body, removing the pubic hair, cutting nails, and having a presentable beard for the men, meaning neat and tidy. This is the right of the body. To have the key body pure, wash it, clean it, have a bath, and stay in a clean state, put perfume, itar on you, ye sunnat hai, itar laga ke rakhe, removing unwanted hairs, underarms and pubic hairs, ghair zaruri baal jo hai saaf karna, ye body ka haq hai. Apne nakhan kaatna, to cut the nails is the right of the body. And to have a presentable beard, daadi aapki hai, to usko is tarah saaf suthri rakhein, usko dhoyein, usko khushboo lagayein, uska khat karein, ke wo khubsurat lage. Ke bhai kisi dusre bande ka bhi, jiska koi mood bana hua hai daadi rakhne ka, wo ye na ho ke aapki daadi dekhe uska mind change ho jaye. Balki jiska nahi bhi bana hua, whoever doesn't have a mood to keep beard, he looks at you, he says, how beautiful it looks, I really would like it as well. तो जो दाढ़ी बंदे रखते हैं उनको रखनी चाहिए नीट एंड टाइडी अपना अब जो उन्होंने रखी है तो इस बॉडी इज राइट टू कीप इट प्योर साफ करना अपना लिबास साफ रखना महंगा लिबास पहनना ये जरूरी नहीं है टू एक्चुअली वे वेरी वेल्थी और यू मे से वेरी वैल्यूएबल और वेरी डियर एक्सपेंसिव क्लोथ सस्ता भी हो इट इज वेरी चीप बट क्लीनिंग डजंट टेक एनी मनी धोने के तो पैसे नहीं लगते आप अपने अपना धो सकते हैं रोज धो सकते हैं दूसरे दिन धो सकते हैं उसमें तो कोई इतना खर्चा नहीं है तो लिबास बेशक महंगा नहीं है लेकिन उसको साफ सुथरा रखें बिल्कुल क्लीन इट इज एक्चुअली दैट इज द राइट ऑफ द बॉडी एज वेल ये भी जिस्म का हक है आप देखें ना इस्लाम तो ऐसी चीजें सिखा रहा है ये तो तरीक की अभी इब्तदा भी नहीं हुई You've not even begun the tariq yet. You've not even entered the tariq of Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz al-Dabbagh, and Tariqa Muhammadiyah. Ye un sab mashayikh ki ye teaching hai. Wo humare log jo isne pehle to rakhte nahi, jo rakhte hain daadi, wo kya pata apna safai nahi kar rahe, aur jo hai, koi aadhi udhar ud rahi hai, aadhi udhar ud rahi hai, aur kapdon ke badbu aa rahi hai, it's smelling. From the chadar pehni hai to usse badbu aa rahi hai pagdi pehni hai to usse wohi keh rahe 6 mahine pagdi na dhoye to wo to behtar hai unke liye phir wo topi pehante kam az kam they were fulfilling the rights of the body at least to ye cheeze hain to these are beginning steps of the path for Allah subhanahu wa taala the three number 5 right of yourself is not to perform acts which may harm the body कि physically anything which harms the body is actually to violate yourself's rights. If you do that, you can't get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will get sinful. So self-harm, meaning torturing yourself in some way, smoking is also one of those kinds, when all the world is screaming, Muslim and non-Muslim, that this is a substitute to death. Smoking. अब तो काफर भी कुफर भी चीख चीख के कह रहे हैं कि ये बड़ी खतरनाक है इट इज हार्मफुल फॉर योर बॉडी एंड इस्लाम हैज प्रोहिबिटेड रसूल अल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम हैज इवन सेड इफ अ चपाती or a flour or a bread is burnt, is too much heated, and any part which is too much heated, don't eat. Prophet has mana kiya hua hai ki jali hui roti na khana, to aap jo hai aag kha rahe hain cigarette se, to wo kaise aap Allah Islam uski ijazat denge ki aap smoke khaye, that you eat the smoke and you sniff the smoke. Although the tobacco was not existing at that time, but even lesser things than tobacco Rasulullah ﷺ prohibited. They were less harmful. And he said, try to abstain from them. So self-harm, smoking, drugs, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may save us all from suicide. This is also against the rights of the body, to commit suicide. To save it from suicidal tendencies, to save it from drugs, save it from smoking, save it from self-harm in any way, that is the right of the body. A person should not do, especially a Muslim should never do suicide. Why? Because people do, sometimes they do commit suicide due to worldly reason, wife has thrown me out, I've lost business and things, etc. They think that after death they will get peace. But after death, more punishment is waiting for them. They will try to run back to dunya. They said, oh, my wife was very good, although she was actually torturing. She was better than these angels who are punishing me. So they would like very much to go back to that wife, but now they've lost the opportunity. So any other person giving you hard time, they are still actually better than the angels of hell regarding actually the harm they cause you. Because the person who commits suicide, they will actually be punished for a very, very long time. Rasulullah in one hadith mentioned, for long, forever actually, this person will be punished. But ulama said that this means, this has certain meaning, this hadith. The other is, the other right of the body which derived from Prophet Islam teaching is to be in good company and good friends and stay away from those who take you away from the remembrance of Allah. This is the right of the body, to keep it in good company, in good environment. You see, this is quite common sense, that this is your body, to keep it in a good environment is naturally right. It's like to keep yourself in a clean environment and not to smoke or not to take drugs. That is physical harm. Spiritually, you can harm in a bad environment, that you sit with bad people, evil people, you go to clubs, you go to cinemas, and obviously the environment is not good. Your body and spirit will be affected by these things. And stay away from those who will take you away from the remembrance of Allah. And then in one of the sayings, Prophet interpretive saying, good company is like a light which helps the plant to grow and reach the light of Sunnah. So Rasulullah said, good company is like a light, like a plant needs sunlight to grow, doesn't it? Koi bhi poda hai, dekhi aap andar rakhenge, wo sook jate hain pode, they go dry, they just wither away. So Prophet said to them, good company, achhi sohbat, it is like a light which helps the plant to grow and reach the light of Sunnah. So if you are growing, your body is like a plant of taqwa, you are trying to grow, be good. And like for every plant, there is a light required, good company is like the light. And bad company is like darkness. All the time you take or keep one tree in darkness, it will not bear fruit. It needs light. So bad company is like the darkness, and good company like the light for the tree. So that's why on the earth, where there is no light for 4, 3, 4, 5 months in those countries, no tree grows there. Especially not the fruitful trees. They don't grow there. Next is the major rights of teacher. Major rights of your teachers. Who teach you deen, who teach you Quran, who teach you the spiritual path. And especially here, a spiritual teacher is referring to the spiritual teacher who will guide you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. The major rights of the teacher are to follow and obey his advice according to the Sharia and Sunnah. If one fails to follow and obey a doctor and his prescription, one shall not be cured of their disease. So he's referring to there here that one should obey his advice, which is according to Sunnah and Sharia. He shouldn't and he must not command anything against Sharia anyway. But if he does, it's not necessary to follow, because the person can actually do a mistake as well. But be sure that you have the knowledge. It's not that according to your knowledge he is saying something against Sharia. It might be according to Sharia, but your knowledge is too less, you don't know. So you need to be a scholar or refer to scholars, and they decide that this advice is in compliance with Sharia or not. Then you follow or not. Otherwise you follow. So here it said, if one fails, example is given, if one fails to follow and obey a doctor and his prescription, one shall not be cured for disease. Let's say a spiritual teacher, a teacher is like a doctor. Doctor cures your physical ailments, and the teacher, the spiritual teacher, cures your mental, your spiritual ailments and diseases. Now you have a doctor, you've registered as well, like some person, people have done bayah as well to teachers, many mashayikh. They've done bayah, but they don't go to them when they fall ill. And even if they go to them, they give them medicine, take this 3 times a day, do the zikr 3 times a day, for example. A medicine, they won't take it. If they don't take, they're not going to become cured. So the first right is to obey the advice. Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah says that what benefit will you get when you've given me your hand, but your bodies you are taking with shaitan. Aap goya farma rahe the khutbe mein, aapne farmaya tumne haath mujhe diya hua hai, bait meri ki hui hai, haath char ungliyan mujhe de di hain, aur sara jism aur dil aur akal wo shaitan ke de diya hai, ye yahan mujhse kaise fayde hoga tumhe? How you are going to benefit from me? You've done my bear with one hand, and the rest of the one hand and 2 feet and whole the body and organs, you are given to shaitan. You've done bath of shaitan. Or rather, you've taken that with you as well. Number two, second right of the teacher is to listen and participate in their gathering in person or over the other means like internet or by other means without a if a person have a valid reason. Meaning the right is to be in the sohba. A person cannot benefit from the internet as he can benefit in the presence of actually someone. It's like a fragrance. Yes, say I have a bottle of ether here, and mashallah the ether is actually emanating nice aroma, nice fragrance. You are getting this fragrance and you are enjoying the fragrance. And a person who is seeing through TV or recording or internet, he is also seeing the same bottle, also the ether as well, but he won't be able to get the smell. He will be deprived of that. So there is a spiritual barakah which the cameras can't take away, when the camera cannot actually captivate, which recording cannot captivate, only if the presence of actually the person. So person should listen, participate in their gathering in person. If not, then actually there is alternative. You see, the yammam you only do when the water is not there. Otherwise wuzu is zaruri. If you can do wuzu, you can't do the yammam. So if you can participate, these days really this internet and other things have benefited as well, but they have also done a loss as well to some people. These recordings of cassettes and video cassettes, there is an element, as I say, anything, everything has an advantage or disadvantage. It has a disadvantage as well. Because in previous times, people would travel for months just to do ziyara of mashayikh. And the sacrifice they made actually for weeks traveling and the wealth and health. And then they will just benefit from the ziyara and they'll get spiritual enlightenment. Because the mujahida, they've done so much. And they have the value. But today, everyone can say in a DVD, the Mufti or the Alim is in his pocket.
वो कहते हैं अब क्या ज़रूरत है ज़ियारत की, अब तो मेरे पॉकेट में है.
The ulama are in the pockets of people. So they don't have actually such value. Previously, when these times were not there, they really had the influence and effect as well on them when they used to travel country to country, city to city, or to the ziyarat of ulama, muhaddiseen, or mashayikh actually to other cities, and they really have the benefit. And they could only hear directly, so they benefited more. But there are many benefits of as well these things. So a person who is allowed to, who can now benefit like this, he should benefit like this. Let's say a person who sees in the dream or a vision Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cannot benefit in the same way as the Sahaba did from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although he is seeing the same figure, he is seeing the same person, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in vision he is even awake. Like some people have the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in wakefulness state, they are awake fully and they can, eyes are open and they can see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they are not even able to benefit like the Sahaba benefited from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that was a different thing. This is different thing. Other right is to love and honor them, to love the teachers of deen and honor them more than your families, more than any other person, including yourself. Because teachers are the bridges to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because mashayikh, muhaddiseen, ulama, the pious, the righteous one, they really take you to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other people, they are behind you for their own benefit. They want dunya, a wife want comfort from you, a wife want money from you, service from you, protection from you. Your children want certain, they have certain incentives from you. Your friends want something from you. The government want taxes from you. Government wants you working for them. Your employer wants you working for them. Your brothers and friends want to cooperate and they want you to actually help them in time. And these mashayikh, awliya Allah, selfless people, that they don't actually ask you to even thank you, or even they don't ask you to say salam to them, let aside actually having them. So how wonderful people they are really. They are really your friends. The others are friends of wealth, health, eating, drinking, incentive, physical needs. Wife is a very close person, but if you don't fulfill, she has incentive with you. If you don't give her money proper due, don't fulfill her physical needs, let's say for example, you don't give her time, she says, I don't want to live with you. Finish. So she really doesn't love you. She loves that comfort, that pleasure, that money. But these awliya and saliheen, muhaddiseen, ulama, self-saliheen, they were such people, and there are such people now as well, that they, even you abandon them, they never actually abandon you. There are people who come and they do tawbah and they listen and they say, oh, we love you very much, and then they go on 5-6 months, it's like they've done a dive, like ducks do dive in the pond. You can't see them. So after 6 months, 1 year, they come back, though the Saliheen, they don't say to them that, why you come back now? We don't have nothing to do with you. They still, their arms are open, their love is even more, their compassion is even more. So you just actually weigh the benefits or the love of the people who love you for Allah and who do you love you for dunya. And you will find that these people, even wife, children, other people, they really don't love you, they love the things which you have. And people who love you for Allah, they are really love you. You are handicapped, you are spiritually handicapped, whatever you are, they are going to love you. They are going to help you. So that's why to love and honor them more than your families, more than any other person, including yourself. Teachers are the bridges to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By following them, one is building the bridge to the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the presence
of love of Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Because you love for them, for Allah and His Messenger, you will be able to love Rasulullah sallam more. You will become more closer to Rasulullah sallam. That's why we say Tabi'een. Why the Tabi'een have a great status? Just imagine, they've not seen Rasulullah sallam. But they only seen Sahaba, because they have a close, they have a presence, they have actually a relationship with Prophet ﷺ. So even though Tabi'in didn't, they from the Sahaba they benefited. So similarly, Awliya, Salihin, teachers, maybe you are not seeing Rasulullah ﷺ yourself, but if these people are closer to Allah and His Messenger, you are going to benefit. And one day you will get there if you keep following them. They are the keys to the hearts of Rasulullah ﷺ and door. They are the keys to the heart of and door of Rasulullah ﷺ. Because without, if Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Ghazali, Sayyidina Abdul Aziz, Dabbal, Sayyidina Abdul Hassan Ali Shazli, and back other awliya, Imam Hassan Basri, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, if they didn't convey these teachings to us, how would we know? We wouldn't know. So they are people who are keys and door to Rasulullah ﷺ. They are such people. And number four, right of the teacher is their commands and prescriptions. Personal amal are obligatory, meaning the sense that from the spiritual point of view, for the seeker to follow in line with Sharia and Sunnah. Meaning whatever prescription, amal they give you, whatever commands they give you in order to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessary for you to follow that advice in line with Sharia and Sunnah. They are the igniters to the flames of remembrance and love of Allah. They can ignite the love of Allah, the remembrance of Allah in the person's heart. So Sayyidina Abdul Aziz Dabbagh rahimahullah says that, and when a person takes a zikr from a wali, he also implants a light of that zikr in the heart of the person. So when now this person is going to do zikr, it will be completely different. Things will open to them. Things will actually be clear to them. They will experience enlightenment in the heart because the light has been placed. Now all people don't have, only awliya, ahlullah, they have those lights. So if you take from them, they can ignite. They have the lighter. The other might have fuel, but it's empty lighter. No, only voice is coming of the lighter, but click click is happening. No flame. So other people will tell you the same things. You will tell yourself the same thing, but it won't have effect. You need ignition key. You see, all the car is useless unless the ignition actually can be turned on. So the mashayikh are like the starting, they start, they can make this one spark to happen, which will then actually enlighten all everything. And your journey can continue. So now, the summary, you mashallah, up to now you have heard what you have been hearing in the past 6-7 days. But now we are going to do the summary. The prerequisites are the beginning of one mountain. Ab ye dekh rahe hai na? The prerequisites, the conditions are the beginning of the mountain. Aap idhar hai. Really here was just to develop energy. You take energy. You see, children play video games. Children play video games and then they are fighting. They say we get one life more. They say if you get this, you get more energy in you and you can go more and more. These are the energy builders and energy pick. You can pick up these and mashallah, you have the power to at least climb up there now. So if you lose the energy, if you jump down from the bridge, come back here again. Take 1, 2, 3, whichever you want. Then you keep, when you feel hyped up again, ready, again actually enter the wrestling ring with the shaitan and see what you can do. But if he throws you back again you come back. Until death you have chance. You see, in the game you only get 3 chances or 5 chances. Here you have infinite chances until death. So ye to bahut aasan hai, ab wapas aao, energy pakdo aur aage le jao.
be high up. Where you take energy from? From remembering death, reality of dunya, to ponder over the day of judgment, be tending the gathering of zikr, gathering of... So this is energy thing with you. So once you have energy, it doesn't mean you have reached somewhere. It only means you can go now. So the first mountain of beliefs is the prerequisites at the beginning to one mountain. The four objectives which you have been hearing, preference to Allah, preference to Rasulullah, compassion upon creation, and presence of Allah in the heart, that Allah is with me, watching me, hearing me, these are the second mountain. The course and the four stages of the course, purification of the body, seven organs, purification of the mind, which is actually saving your mind from thinking evil, you have to be trained in that, and purification of the heart from hasad, bughz, kibr, arrogance, greed and other things. And the fourth, enlightenment of the soul. The course and the four stages of purification are the bridge which connect one mountain to the other mountain. So maybe people, person who starts the course, they are like here. They are fighting with their tongue here yet. And many times they fall back on these rocks. These are the rocks of ghibat and chugli and namima. Again and again and they fall. And they are injured, their imans are injured. They are crying and weeping in their spirits. But no, it doesn't matter now. They can do tawbah. They can, tawbah means turning back, U-turn. So the U-turn is from here to there. Tawbah means turning. Take some energy if you need and do a U-turn again. Because there is too much at stake. It's hell and heaven. You can't actually be, you can't risk to actually be just actually slack or lazy or complacent, because there's too much at risk. And then once you are in the second mountain, which is the four objectives, once the seeker has reached the mountain of four objectives, then if you can, brother, put the third, the second to the third one. So from the second, when you have these four qualities which will lead you to pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the seeker has reached the mountain of four objectives, he shall reach the mountain of Allah's pleasure and success. So when a person has done that, he is standing there now waiting for the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pick the person up. And this will, these two things will help you very much. Humbleness, meaning tawazos, still considering that I've done all these things, but still I am actually, I've not really done how I am supposed to do, or I have not done no favor for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His zaat, His grandeur, His greatness deserves even more. So still having humbleness and sincerity, that you only want Allah, this is necessary. If you make anything else your objective other than the pleasure of Allah, you never achieve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. So this sincerity means that don't contaminate it with the wants of world, with the wants of supernatural powers, karamat, mukashifat, visions, dreams, and other things. Like the brother said, Brother Akash was saying yesterday, he saw a vision. He is not closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless he follows the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Visions do not take closer to Allah. Visions are also a kind of actually thirst builders, or actually encouraging you. If a person wants, he can utilize it. He doesn't, still actually he can have iman and ghaib, and he can still actually carry on. Some people are strong, mashallah. So here the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and grace will carry you here. Once you are here in the pleasure of Allah, now you have hayate tayyiba. Now you'll be living the life like Sayyidina Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, awliya salih. You'll be able to taste man yama min salihati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, from the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا نُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا. Allah will give them pure life. And this is حَيَاتِ طَيِّبًا, pure life. Now, at the end, two duties remain. You need to do two things, keep doing two things. One is to istiqama, keep with steadfastness, hold yourself there. Don't do a U-turn back to actually fall down again. So steadfast, keep everything there. keep on doing your amal, you will be there. If you don't do your amal, gradually you'll fall back. And from here you'll fall down. That's what happened with shaitan. Shaitan reached here. He did all the first, second, third, some of the stages. In his own sense, he didn't completely really do it, because if he had done the third stage, hasad and kibar would have not been there. But he done some worship and had a jolly good ride actually to Jannah. And then actually he actually became slackened, and then here he comes back again. Here. So this is one thing, and the second thing which you need to do is keep conveying the message of Allah and the message of Rasulullah Sallam to others. People who are yet drowned in darkness. Bring the first diagram again. People who are drowned in darkness and they are still living in sinful life. They are still living a life of heedlessness, in ghafla. They are still sleeping. And for these people, then what you do, once you reach your end, you come to these people. These people are living here in darkness. Ye jo log hai na ghaflat mein, they are living in darkness. They are here. So you utilize these strings. These are the ropes which you can throw here in the darkness to these people. And these ropes can bring them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's at least want. So you use these things. Invite them. Tell them the reality of the world. Tell them the reality of hereafter. What happened in this world of spirits. What happens at the time of death. The punishment in the fire. The pleasures of Jannah. The torments of the hell. The lives of the awliya. The lives of the sahaba. The lives of the anbiya. How they lived. And what says in the Quran. So these things you can use to bring these people from there. They are ropes for them. So you are going to give dawah through these things only to them. Unless, until they come to this land of quest, of truth, then you say, okay, we'll teach you further. So we finish here for today, inshallah. And if you have any questions, you can ask. So we have two more days to go now, 28th and 29th. And remember, on the 29th, you will also be given a test from these questions as well, that how you have learned. And inshallah, I will be testing in further as well, but very basic. Inshallah, you will write between Asr and Maghrib, or before Asr. Instead of the halqas, you will give maybe 1 hour, like we finish at 5. So from 5 to about 6, you will be given the time actually to write, and also after Asr if you need. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. The way to free oneself from, if a person have backbiting anyone, there are the degrees to free yourself. Number first degree, and the best one, is if you can find that person, see that person, just go to them, and generally don't be specific what you have said. You don't say them, I called you a donkey or a monkey or whatever, because that's not a good start. They might not actually be in forgiving mood then. Just say generally that, brother, I am sinful person. I have violated your rights regarding honor, regarding ghiba. I might have said few words which are become in a class as a ghiba. Please actually forgive me. So generally you ask forgiveness, that is sufficient. If you don't feel comfortable, then just write to the person. Or if person is living far away, you can write to them as well. You can phone them as well. But if you cannot find them, And then you just ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do some good deeds and send reward of that good deed to them. And other thing which you do is, always you should do is, that you should praise them in those majalis where you have been backbiting them. Now intentionally try to praise them. Unki tareef kare un majalsu mein jahan aap ghibat karte rahe hain. So this is also compensation. So these are the degrees how you should actually. And then you obviously you should ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. And do tawbah with the conditions of tawbah. Brother have asked actually that a person have taken money from a company or from a government or from people regarding returning money, that how would one actually calculate how much they have taken? Really, when you can do not know how much you have taken, then you are best to do your best estimation and calculation from a company like where you've been working, you've been stealing money from there or something, or the government or from any person. You do your best estimation. If they don't know, you do your best estimation, and you actually then according to that estimation you pay back. To companies, you can pay back in their accounts, for example. They say, how will I pay back? It will cause problems. Companies have accounts. If you put £5,000 in anyone's account, I don't think they will be knocking on your door why you put £5,000 in their account. Similarly, governments, they have government accounts. People can pay back penalties and things, tax and things like this. They can pay in their account to the government. They don't necessarily why you are actually paying so much or that. So a person can. Or if a person is saying it would cause problems, so what you do in this situation? So a person should try to at least do tawbah and give at least whatever a person can. So maybe you cannot pay all at once and you don't have whatever you can afford, £10, £20, inshallah you can at least start. And inshallah, if you die whilst the money is not complete, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopefully will forgive you by His fazl that you'll be doing your best regarding that. Companies, many people, I've advised that who stole things from companies or many things, I've asked them to write letters to them. And they've written letters to banks, other things, that they've done this and this. For example, and most of them have positively actually responded. Some have forgiven them anyway, and some have asked to pay a little amount, and things like this happen. You see, when you really become sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, because He controls the minds and hearts of people. He also helps you in that. Yes, if someone says they can't give up smoking, they can't pay back money, etc., etc., this means that there is they don't have the yet right level of actually, so that they can actually embark on the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to regarding these people, you should give time and you should actually engage with them through these thirst developers and builders again and again mention these things, they themselves will ask then how should they pay. Because now they don't have the concern, so they are just being lazy and slackened. So yes, like I said the other day, do what Shaitan does, in the sense that when he person doesn't listen to him, he makes a plan for him, a long plan. So if a brother is not coming towards Deen, you also make a big plan for him, maybe over 6 months, 1 year, plan what you are supposed to do, and that's how you can do best as you can, mashallah. A person who have been using a mobile phone or camera, they've been same thing applies, that if they have stolen, they should actually at least what they should do is the return that good actually to the proper owner. If they return that, if although they have used, they should ask forgiveness for regarding that. But if they just return that good to the person, that is sufficient to fulfill the condition. For example, let's say you might say the person is, yes, you want to say something else? If he has found it, then he should actually just, in every company, in every city, in every council, there are actually places where lost property is given. So they should go and just give it to any last property section or the police station, they will take from you. So inshallah, there shouldn't be any problem at all. Even if you have to return it back to the company, you don't want to take to the company, let's say you've stolen a camera and you don't want to go and say, I've stolen a camera from you. You can just post it and the camera can actually just reach them. Finish. Regarding that, yes, I know there are opinion of ulama, and some ulama have considered that if you've been like scanning checks or things like this, yes, that person money is not of the highest degree halal, but they have actually given flexibility on that matter. So I also say that person should, people today, problem is that they very nakedly are eating haram. So I am saying that even stop from that, they do, alhamdulillah, that's a very great thing. When they know in black and white that this ghibat which I am doing is wrong, this money which I am supposing to be disabled, I am not. So if a person just focuses on that first, the higher level, and then a minimum level, and then inshallah these are the higher level of taqwa, then a person should ponder over this thing. But first, like Imam, they say that the people, one scholar said that they asked me about masla of goat hair. The hair of the goat, bakri ke baal mein ye makruh hai. Or he said the same people when they eat swine and meat, haram meat, they don't ask. Soor kha jayenge aur bakri ke baal mein bare puche, bakri ke baal khana makruh hai ya nahi hai. So today the matter is that haram is bayan, halal is bayan. Haram is clear, halal is clear. So you try to actually firstly abstain from that haram and adopt that halal. And this is a shaitanic idea that he will get you into smaller petty things while you will be doing very grave, clearly wrong things, and you will be thinking that you are going towards taqwa, and rather it will become an obstacle. You will come to the conclusion, I can't do it. So you will abandon and completely start doing even clear bad things which your heart also can tell you they are wrong. So I think there are enough clear wrong things which we are not stopping from. And where the difference of opinion, I say you, if the ulama different in opinion, go after the flexibility which they are given. Inshallah, at least there is opinion there. But I am saying that the things on which they are all unanimous, we are not even abstaining from them, where they have no difference. That is the problem today. Walaikum salam.
The small interest that you get in your bank accounts,
right? Brother is saying you that when a person earns a small interest in the account, first of all, today there are accounts which don't give you interest. Previously there were as well. Now there are Islamic banks, even some of the secular banks like HSBC or Barclays, they have special accounts which, for example, don't give interest. This is Islamic, the Sharia compliance account, they won't give you interest in that. So firstly, it will be necessary for you to switch your account from there to there. From one account to the other. Go to the bank and see, I want this account which doesn't enter. Because firstly, if there was no option, then there might be any flexibility, but now there are alternatives. Secondly, that if someone have earned interest, it is haram, what should they do? Should they leave in the bank? Should they take out and throw in the bin? Or actually, should they give to any poor person, pay zakat and, you know, attain reward? Well, all these three things are wrong. Nor actually one should let it remain in the bank. Nor one should take out and throw it away. Nor one should give it while seeking reward through it. But some of the charities, what they have done is that they have created a special section of them. They're like sadaqah, zakah, and fidya, and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi sabilillah. They've created a special emergency fund which is only used where there's a situation of life and death in the world. Where the difference of life and death in the world, where people are starving to death. It's not a matter of now convenience, but it's a matter of life and death, like state of war or actually any. In those people, it is even allowed for them to eat haram. The haram is not haram for them, meaning it becomes lawful for them. They don't get sin. So these charities, they use that money for those extreme life-death situation in the world. They only use that money for that. But for that, a person will not get any reward for. He shouldn't seek reward. He can never become ibadah because that was haram. So it's just the least of the two bad options that a person can utilize it somewhere where it is not wasted. That is it. You should just repent. From that, if you have not participated yourself in that, in the sense that you have not participated in the gathering, you have not said anything, then you should just repent that you should have defended and you did not defend. And next time, you also try to defend when it happens. Or if you can't, then you abandon that majlis. You leave that gathering. But it is necessary when a Muslim is being talked ill about his backs for you it is necessary to actually defend him. Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned special reward for that person who will defend his Muslim brother in his absence. According to Hanafi fiqh, should we cover? It is necessary to cover one's aura, means from the navel to the knees. No, it is not necessary. It is recommendatory nature that it is good recommended that a person does. It is not necessary to cover, have a cover of your aura, meaning from knees to. One can actually take a ghusl naked. There is no sin in there. ٹھیك ہے جزاك الله سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا نستغفرك ونتوب اليك. Try to learn those مسائل which we are teaching and learning. Don't go off the side issues like fiqh matter. You can ask any scholar of Islam in your local mosque, in the imam masjid of the imam of the mosque, how I shall do this, how I shall do wudu, how should I cover this, etc. Any person you can ask, a scholar. These are the things which you only get from some places. Only some people only who can teach these things. So try to focus on that rather than asking these masail of fiqh. Actually, they are to do with ulama, and in ulama, the fiqh is not new. It is already written. Anyone can, any old scholars of, for example, particular fiqh, they will know the basic masail. A person should follow them. Nor I am faqih, nor I say to people, follow me what I say. So I rather prefer not, people don't ask me masla, fiqh, aqidah and things, nor I am expert in them. But I say things which actually I know. So I would prefer you only ask actually about the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all other masail you can inshallah benefit from other ulama as well. They can answer that as well very easily for you. جزاك الله سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. الله أكبر. استغفر الله.